Ecclesiastes chapter number 8, starting verse number 1, the Bible says, "Who is the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight, stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen, and applied mine heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom, and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it." Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll finish reading after we pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the safety that you give buses on the way here this morning. And Lord, don't take that for granted. And thank you for just divinely working and orchestrating even times and things that sometimes we don't understand. And Lord, I do thank you for your safety that you give us. And thank you, God, that you are God and that your thoughts are higher than ours. And as we read in Ecclesiastes, it comes very much to light. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Help us as we look at your word. And I pray that you would help me to say what would be an encouragement to folks and just a challenge. And Lord, I pray that you guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and point out in chapter number 8, I'll point out a few things here. If you go back to flip back, and if you look at one verse that really, much of chapter 8 is kind of repetitive of what we've already looked at in Ecclesiastes about, it's very much, you know, if we look at it through a human perspective, some of these things just do not make sense. But we need to look at our lives and this life in a perspective that God would want us to look at it. And but ultimately, Solomon, I believe, he very much, you know, we're getting towards the end of the book or over halfway, and he very much makes an emphasis that we need to make sure that we are always, you know, fearing God and doing what's right. Sometimes, yeah, it seems like, as David said, the wicked are prospering, and we're doing what's right, and sometimes, you know, they have all the money to pay everything, and physically or temporally or on this earth, the wicked does seem like they prosper. But ultimately, it's not about what happens here on this earth. It's about what happens and how we please God and what happens for eternity. But in verse number 8, if you look at chapter 8, verse number 8, and this verse kind of stuck out to me of all the verses in chapter 8. The Bible says, "There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And this is going to actually kind of jump us off into chapter number 9. But the one phrase or one part of that verse is that to me that kind of stood out. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. You know, you've only, your eternity is based upon what you do here on this earth. You know, once you're in eternity, you know, the things that you've done on this earth that you will receive rewards for will be done here, not necessarily in heaven. Okay, your ability to stand before God is either a person that has received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or has rejected, because you either receive it or reject it. There is no middle ground. That is done on earth. Because once you die, those decisions have already been made. Now, we don't know really what's going to happen in heaven. Okay, we're living with Christ for eternity. I don't know if God's going to have other things that he's going to have set up. And, you know, sin's not going to be allowed. So it's not like you're going to do wrong or do right. But maybe there's other things that God has. I don't know. Okay? But I do know that there are things that we can do on this earth that will make a difference in heaven. All right? And ultimately, our decision to accept Christ as our Savior is the biggest thing. However, the second phrase of that verse, the Bible says, neither hath he power in the day of death. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And so let's go to chapter number 9 with that phrase in mind, neither hath he power in the day of death. And we're going to look at chapter number 9. We're going to read this whole chapter also. So starting verse number 1, the Bible says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred, by all that is before them, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemeth great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Now, the phrase I had you kind of look at in chapter 8, verse 8, was, neither hath he power in the day of death. And this is the kind of the thought is this morning, if I could summarize it into one maybe short statement, it would be no regrets. No regrets. And I know there's been illustrations, and I know there was a missionary that he gave up everything, and I don't remember his name, but I think it was Borden. I think he was of the family, Borden family, and he went and basically he gave up an entire fortune, and then he went over to the mission field, and he ended up dying on the mission field. And then it was written in his Bible, and I don't remember the whole statement, but I do know it said something about no regrets, no regrets. You know, we've only got so much time. You know, we've only got so much time on earth. Solomon, you know, I may have less time than you do. We don't know. Solomon said that it comes suddenly as a net cast into the water, and it's going to catch a certain amount of fish, all right? And a certain amount of fish are going to get away. And it also, he references birds that are caught in a snare. Brother Val does trapping, and you don't, you know, there may be, you know, by a matter of a couple hours, an animal that gets caught in a trap or doesn't get caught in a trap. It's just a chance thing, honestly, okay? Very much a chance thing. I took my kids fishing the other day, and it's the same thing. You know, we're casting these lines in the water. Now, my kids haven't exactly learned, they're fishing with bobbers still. And they haven't exactly learned the whole when the bobber goes under that you have to, they just want to start reeling real slowly. They haven't exactly learned the setting the hook thing. And, you know, they've lost several fish because they didn't learn to set the hook. But you know what? Those fish and are pretty happy that they haven't learned how to do that yet. All right. And there are those chance, we would call them chance. Now, I believe everything is, you know, in our lives, God foresees those things. I've referenced recently, I've been reading about World War II and the Pacific Theater in World War II. And you read about tens of thousands of our soldiers that died on those shores. And how one man would be kneeling down, helping another man that was perhaps just wounded. And he stands up, and just at that instant, as he stood up, a bullet catches him. Like, you know, how, you know, did some young men have, you know, I think there was a lot, especially in the World War II era, there was probably a majority of those young men that had mothers at home that were praying mothers. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't think that, you know, well, he just died because he was a Christian. Well, I don't think that for one instant. There's documentation of, excuse me, I got a head cold. There's documentation of devout Christians that died just like somebody else. Okay, death comes to all of us. All right, but I think one of the things that Ecclesiastes teaches us is this idea of everything you do, give it 100%. All right, give it 100%. Everything that we're involved in, because we've only got so much time here. Okay, so we're going to look at this. We're going to look at this in verse number 4. If we look at verse number 4, this is one of the first things. The Bible says, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope." You know, while you're still alive, you still have hope of some things. All right? It's not over. You know, life is not hopeless because you're still alive. God still has a purpose, all right, for you here on this earth. I don't know what it is. I don't know what God's entire purpose for my life is, but God does have a purpose, okay? God does have something he wants us to do. The Bible says, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, if you put a dog and a lion together in a fight situation, obviously, more than likely, the lion is going to win. It's a dominant animal. It's the king of the jungle, okay? I've never heard a dog called the king of the jungle, all right? The lion is the king of the jungle. But if the lion's dead, he is no longer the king. Okay, that's basically what the Bible's saying. And, you know, well, I don't have as best a situation as, you know, somebody else. But you know what? That's the situation that you have. All right? It's what you have right now. And you have to take good advantage of it. All right? you can spend your whole life wishing you were the lion when God's given you the life that he's given you. Okay, does that make sense? So I think God wants us to enjoy the things that we have. And now look at verse number 6. The Bible says, also their love. And I want to say this in the context of what we're talking about. I think you ought to love with no regrets. Okay? And that's hard. That's sometimes hard. Now, for family, it's easy. It's easy to do that for family. You know, because it's family. You know, blood's thicker than water thing. All right? You love your family. You love your kids, even though your kids sometimes may disappoint you. All right? You love people. You love family because it's family. Right? You love your grandkids, even though at times your grandkids may disappoint you. You still love your grandkids. But you know, love isn't just in the bounds of family. Love goes beyond the bounds of family. And when love goes beyond the, you know, I love my wife because she's my wife. Okay, I love my kids because they're my kids. But when you start loving other people's kids, all right, that's when it gets easier to withhold some of that love. All right? Because you see their downfalls, you see the things that they fail at, and you're not as willing to forgive them or to look, you know, there's a statement that love blinds, and that's very true. It's a very true statement. But sometimes because we don't love completely, we still see all the faults, and we still want to pick out all the things. You know, I still see young people come here. Excuse me. I still see young people walking the door back there that, you know, honestly, probably aren't living the way they're not living the way they've been taught. There's no doubt about that. Now, you know what? I'm so happy to see them. I make a point to go talk to them. If all possible, if I see, and if there's some people I miss, I try to reach out to them, okay? Because once you, especially the young people that, you know, we had in our fifth and sixth grade class and different things like that, you still love them, even though they're not doing maybe what's right. Now, you're disappointed in things sometimes. You're disappointed because you know what they could have been versus what they are. That's probably the hardest thing. But I think we ought to love with no regrets. I don't ever want to come to the end of my life and be like, man, if I would have loved that person a little bit more the way Christ loved them, could I have changed their life for the better? All right? Now, the hard part about that is when you do love somebody to that extent, there is a huge chance for that to hurt your heart, okay? That's why most people, it's just a bus kid. It don't matter about that young person. No, it does. It does. But we don't want to do it because after you do it so many times, it starts to hurt. So, love without regrets. I don't want to get to the end of my life. I don't want to get to the end of my life and regret that I didn't love Christ the way I should have loved Christ. All right. So love Christ. Love others. Love your family. This is kind of funny because you have to, you know, when the Bible teaches them that, I think you have to take everything. And the next thing is their hatred. Their hatred. Oh, Brother Chad, that's, you know, we should just love everyone. Well, no. There's some things I hate in life. And, you know, I shouldn't be, well, I just don't hate that just because, you know, there are some things I just, you shouldn't, you know, Jesus hates sin. All right? Now, we should love the sinner, and this is another hard place to differentiate, but you should love the sinner, but you should hate their sin, okay? Because if you start accepting their sin, you're honestly not really loving the sinner. People get that confused. Well, I just got to love that person, so I have to accept what they're doing that's wrong. You don't have to do that. Okay? You still hate the sin. They're envy. Now, I know that we shouldn't envy, but, you know, there are things that I think envy, to me, this kind of speaks of your feelings, the way you feel about things, all right? You got love, you've got hatred, so you've got things you love and you got things you hate, and then envy is the things that, I don't know, I think all of us envy some things. Now, we shouldn't, we shouldn't envy, you know, we shouldn't be covetous, but, you know, there's things that maybe dreams, all right? Dreams that you desire, dreams that you want, things that you, you know, that's what drives people. The Bible says, I just read it this week in my devotions. The Bible talks about the mouth, or I'm going to get this messed up, so I'll have to paraphrase, but basically the Bible says a man laboreth because his mouth craveth it of him. You know why people labor? Because they like the results of their labor, okay? That's why we live in a capitalistic nation for the most part, okay? We're not communists. You know what communism does? It makes a person labor without enjoying the fruits of their labor, okay? And but there's things we desire, things that you want. You know, if you got something that, you know, like that, I think you ought to do it 100%, all right? Do it 100%. But the Bible says also their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished. Why? Because they're dead. They're dead. Okay, that's why in the context of what we're talking about. All right, so neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way. Verse 7. Eat thy bread with joy. Enjoy what you have to eat. Amen. Hallelujah. All right? I do. I enjoy what I have to eat. Some people are on diets, and I understand, especially medical conditions, you got to be on different kinds of diets. But man, I enjoy eating. I do. I'm unapologetic about, you know, don't you feel bad about eating that? No, not really. I feel great about eating it, okay? Seriously, enjoy the simple things of life. Enjoy eating. All right? Enjoy getting a drink. What, Brother Chad, is that? That's what it says. Drink thy wine with a merry heart. If you drink too much wine, you'll have a real... No, I'm kidding. Don't drink that kind of wine. Don't drink that kind of wine. But honestly, what's the Bible saying? You know, enjoy the things that you have. All right? Do it without regret. Okay? Do it without regret. And I think in that, drinking the wrong kind of stuff will cause you to have regrets. That's why you shouldn't do it. Okay? For God now accepteth thy works. Verse number 8, let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no oil. Let thy garments be always white. Now, I didn't really understand this one, because most of the time my garments are not white. They get dirty really fast if they are white. But you know what? I think we ought to... What's the Bible talking about here? When it talks, it's talking about being clean. It's talking about living a clean and having cleanliness, all right? Listen, in everything, give it 100%, okay? Give it 100%. I'm a big fan of... I wear a hat most of the time, okay? Partly because I'm going bald, okay, and it protects my head. I have learned, and I don't understand this, but a baseball hat, like a cap, can really protect your... I hit my head all the time on stuff, and it's amazing how much just that can protect your head from, you know, large lacerations and stuff. But I don't remember where I was. Oh, I was like, what am I talking about? Because of that, you know what? I don't comb my hair in the mornings half the time, all right? Now, I don't have a whole lot of hair to comb anyway, but I just put a hat on, all right? But you know what? I think as a Christian, you know, you ought to be a good representation. And I've said all that because you know, I've seen some people, they just look like every morning they woke up and just walked out the door, all right? They do. I mean, they really look like that. And some of them still wear their pajamas, okay, and they're just walking right out the door, all right? You see that more often than not anymore. But you know what? I don't want to do that. No, I dress I mean, some of the stuff I have to do, I get dirty. Okay, I do. I threw away two or three pairs of pants a couple days ago that they were just getting threadbare. Okay? I should have actually, come to think of it, I should have gone online and sold them on eBay, because that's what people are buying now. When I wear clothes out is when people start buying them. They're well-worn. They've got the holes. They're faded. But you know what? I think if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I want to do it right. I want to do it 100%. And I think we are, our appearance ought to beret that fact. Okay? Bible says, verse number 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he have given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. And then there again, we could reference back to the love thing, but you know, love who God's given you to love. And I know some folks in this room have lost your spouse, all right? But you know, for those that still have, you know, or still have your spouse here, love them. Because there may be a day when you don't have them anymore, okay? And give your marriage 100%, all right? Give your parenting, the time that you have as parents, give it 100%. Because you've only got 18 years. Now, I know that you're always mom and dad, and you always get the phone call when somebody's in trouble and those things. But you really only have those parenting years until they leave. Okay, and they're on their own. They can make the decision of this is what I'm going to do or this is not what I'm going to do. So and most of you probably aren't parenting years. Some few of you are, but I was convicted about this because so many times I'm good about the work part and my family probably. I don't spend as much time with my family as I should, all right? And When I'm with my kids, I want to be all with my kids. I don't want to be thinking about work all the time and, well, I only got 5 minutes because I got to go to the next thing. And I am. I'm bad about that sometimes. And I don't want to be. I need to do better at that. Verse number 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, this pretty much sums it all up, do it with thy might, for there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Do everything 100%. You know, if you're going to be a church, if you're going to be a member of a church, you ought to be 100% member of a church. I don't get it. Excuse me. I don't really get, and I never have, honestly. You know, my mom and dad, when they went to church, you know, if there was an activity at church that involved any one of our, you know, age groups, we were there. There wasn't really even a question about, well, I don't think so this time. We're not going to go this time. We'll go next time. That really never was even a thought, a concept, okay? It was 100%. Whatever we're doing, we're doing 100%. And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I've been talking to our young people because I think it's important that, you know, it's amazing how much a young mind can retain versus even my, you know, I try to memorize verses now, and it's harder, a lot harder for me to memorize verses now than it was. And I watch Gwen's in kindergarten and even Micah memorizing verses on the bus and stuff, and they can pick up a verse just like that, all right? It's amazing. And what I've been trying to with our young people is, you know, use the time. You know, they shouldn't be on TV, watching a bunch of junk on TV and playing a bunch of video games and all this stuff that's not building their mind, okay? I've told the young people, do all you can to learn all you can to be all you can. All right? Now, that's a lot of alls and cans. But I said, do all you can to learn all you can to be all you can. All right? Well, why would you tell them that? Well, they don't know what God has for them later on in life. Okay? Well, why is it important that they, when you're out playing volleyball with them after church like you do almost every, or playing again, and almost every church service, I'll either play with the kids or I'll play with the teenagers. Almost every church service in the evening. And you know what? If they're playing volleyball, I think they ought to give 100%. Well, it doesn't matter. I'll never, you don't know what God will ask you to do. Okay, I'm glad that I at least know how to play volleyball. I'm not real good at it. I'm glad I know how to play volleyball. I'm glad I know how to play basketball. I'm glad I know how to play baseball and softball. Okay, now did we have a sports program at church when I was growing up? No. But we gave it 100 when we were playing. We gave it 100%. All right, but I'm also glad that my dad taught me how to weld. My dad taught me how to work, and my dad taught me how to, fix things. I'm glad for those things too. And I'm also glad, and my wife sometimes is too, that I do know how to do a load of laundry, okay? I do know how to cook a meal. It's usually eggs and sausage, but it's still edible, okay? I do know how to wash dishes, and my mom taught me that, okay? I do know how to iron a shirt and pants, all right? I do know those things. What do you try to teach? I don't know what God has for those young people. They don't know what God has for them. So if they're prepared to do whatever God asks for them, I think, now there's some things I don't know how to do. And I'm, obviously I don't know how to play the piano, okay? And in some ways, I wish I did kind of know how to play the piano. There'd be times that, because when it comes to music, I pretty much have to hand the music thing off. Well, it would be nice to be able to not have to find somebody to hand everything off to. Okay, I hope that makes sense. I think you ought to do, especially for a young person, because their mind is so pliable, so formable. They ought to do everything they can to learn everything they can to be everything they can. Well, are they going to use all that? No, probably not. But if they know it, then God can say, "Hey, I can use you to do this for me." Okay, I think that's important. And what's the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Give it everything. Live it with no regrets. All right. Live a marriage with no regrets. Be a church member with no regrets. All right. You know what? Be a grandpa with no regrets. Be a grandma with no regrets. All right? Honestly, you've only got so much. I've only got so much time here on earth. And I was talking to a man this week, and there was some stuff that happened in his life this week, and it was kind of I guess he had always had hope of his business doing a certain thing, going to certain heights. He was talking about buying a new piece of property and some other stuff, and some stuff happened this week, and basically I think he's kind of come to the place in his life where he realizes that, and he even said this, he said, "Chad, I'm on the downward spiral." And it's not that he's not successful, he's a very successful person. But what he was saying, it wasn't that he was, It's not what he was saying. He was saying is, this is basically what I have. And as Ecclesiastes says, when I die, all this goes to someone else. That's basically what he was saying. And I told him, I said, "Hey, you know what? You should invest your life in something that matters past you, past eternity. All right, past the time that when you die, it's going to outlive you. Because you can have as much property as you want, as many toys, many tools for me, as you want. But when I'm gone, you know what? It's sad when you go to an auction, estate sale. I think estate sales are, I mean, I love going to them because I'm usually a buyer. But estate sales are sad. You think about what that man spent to accumulate those things. And in a matter of what, 3 or 4 hours, it's gone. And sold for pennies on the dollar. Pennies on the dollar. It's kind of sad. And, you know, but you know what? The things that we do, the things that the investment, the relationships, those can last for eternity. All right? So whatever you do, whether it's a relationship, whether it's, you know, Sunday afternoon lunch, you know, you've got permission. Do it with joy. Enjoy this afternoon's lunch. All right? When you drink a cup of coffee in the morning, just tomorrow morning when you drink that cup of coffee, just look at it and, you know, cherish the moment. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for, the Bible says in Mark 7:37, that you did all things well. You did all things well. God, I'm thankful that when we get to heaven, you don't say, great job or something like that. You just said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for showing us this. Lord, help us to live our life in balance. Lord, help us to, whenever we're at something, to give it 100%. And God, thank you for helping me with this and showing me, just teaching me some things through this. Pray that you help us the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.